to the Lift Podcast, where we talk faith, family, and fitness. I'm your host, Erica Irvin. Join us for another exciting episode where we seek to edify, encourage, and inspire the next generation of women. See you inside.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I know that in the South Bronx, it must be different because I don't know the environment of the climate there when it comes to what's happening with the students and as they're watching the news and as they're going through this process as well. I know here locally, it has been a lot of peaceful protesting, and the local law enforcement officers have been very, very supportive. And you know, Maurice has taken his position as the Jacksonville police chaplain. And so he has been very instrumental, and he's also made the news publicly praying for families, for, you know, for the coronavirus, for violence, for African Americans. You know, he's incorporated other pastors locally as well to kind of get into this movement and be a part of it. And the local law enforcement has showed up and has actually begun to facilitate the prayers and publicly declared that we do not agree with racism, you know, and it's been from the mayor on down. And it's been really nice to see that how our community has taken ownership of this movement and just said, okay, this is our stance as a community. This is what we believe. And we hope that all the other places can duplicate this. But looking on the news, it's a totally different environment. And so, you know, that's why I was asking, you know, how do you address that with students in South Bronx? Because I know it's got to be a different climate there.
The climate is a lot different. Unfortunately, the fantastic police officers that do a wonderful job have to endure the backlash of folks that wear police uniform that say they're police officer is not a person that hurt the people. Mm-hmm. If you break the law and you're wearing the blue uniform, you're not a police officer. Mm-hmm. If you break the law and you're a teacher and you're inside the classroom, you're not a teacher because it doesn't define who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. Mm. That's first and foremost. But as far as the students in New York in general, parents did claustrophobic being at home during the pandemic, and it's been a lot of physical abuse. A lot of mental illness that's been taking place. Some parents have passed away, some grandparents. Some teachers have lost their lives because of coronavirus illness. And it's been an awful situation. Now, disproportionately, I'll give you two zip codes, 10451 and 10457. Mm-hmm. Those are two zip codes of the Bronx where the pandemic, the coronavirus has been more severely detrimental, where people have lost their lives, than any other zip code in the nation.
Wow.
So our children, they want to go back to school, but they're also afraid to go back. Teachers want to go back, but I don't think we're ready to go back until it's actually a vaccination. It's not fair because if teachers, principals, superintendents have to go back, they'll crowd the New York City public buses.
Yeah.
They'll crowd the New York City subway system.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be crowds walking down the street. I think it'll be a proof of disaster if we go back right now. That vaccination is necessary. We need to continue remote learning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of colleagues that are experiencing anxiety. If you look throughout the country, you'll see that teachers are writing wills. Young teachers are writing their wills because they have a feeling that they're not going to make it.
That's tough, man. That is tough. That's a conversation we definitely have had here, even not being teachers. And that's unfortunate that we're in that space right now. But it's
right.
Good that you, as an administrator, are getting ahead of that and having those conversations with your teachers.
Right. And I also want to make clear that it's very, very important for everything to be done the right way. For instance, let's take college sports as an example. When an athlete gets injured, hurt, or he or she does not have the opportunity to participate for whatever reason because there's a person ahead of you that's a better athlete than you, you get redshirted a year. And that gives you an extra year's eligibility. I'm thinking we should redshirt a year as educators. Like if you're in the fifth grade, you come back to the fifth grade, and if parents want to accelerate you, they can put you in accelerated programs when we come back to get you put up to the seventh grade instead of transitioning to six. You go from five to seven with the right support. And if you want to have a private tutor to do that, you can do that. But the opportunity should be there for students to register here, but it feel like they don't have to be forced into a situation where they're behind.
You said red shirt?
Red shirt a year. Academic red shirt. The term red shirt came up when an athlete would get injured, he or she could get an extra year's eligibility from the NCAA because they were injured, and they call it a red shirt or a medical shirt. So that term has been expanded to just another year's eligibility, and so many other things fall under that umbrella to get that extra year's eligibility.
Wow. Now, that's a good concept, and I think that's a great idea. That should be something that they implement in every place. I mean,
just,
it should be blanket.
Just put that out there.
Yeah, that's good information. That's a really good idea. Now I know you've got children. How did you address this? And we got into the coronavirus and talking about the teachers and the students. How do you speak to the parents about, what would you say to the parents in this situation for the coronavirus? You know, since it's obvious that they do want to put their children back in school, is there any words of comfort that you can offer them? Or
I want parents to know that they're the first line of defense, protection, and safety for their family. Being inside of a school building is an ideal situation for parents to go to work. But right now, parents, you need to make arrangements for someone to be there, some type of check-in system for you and your kids. Because remote learning is a strong possibility to be continued going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend parents to brush up on educational psychology terms and influences to develop your children at home. It's a great opportunity to lay your foundation for respect, trust, and love with your kids. And if you have small children at home, if you can get a trusting neighbor or community person to work with you and your kids, you need to research these things now. Now, I want to put this out there. I want to give you a scenario. Let's call the teacher. Let's say her name is Maria. Maria has a classroom. The classroom has 10 tables. Each table has a plastic barrier around it. The teacher brings the kids upstairs into the classroom early in the morning. The teacher has a mask on from 8 o'clock to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, talking through a mask. The children are children. Imagine, I like to use fifth grade because it's right in the middle. Imagine a fifth grader having an issue with another fifth grader. Imagine not having the ability to pass out papers. Imagine them being on computers all day long. They might as well be home doing remote learning. Like the hugs, the kisses, and the touches that, you know, especially the lower level teachers, kindergarten and first, that affect is no longer there because of the distance. Imagine telling a kindergartner you cannot run, you cannot go out to the yard to play. So I think if we just shut things down and listen to the scientists, in 3 months or so, according to the scientists, if everyone practices social distancing, wearing the gloves if you have to, washing your hands, and just following all the advice of scientists, we can get our country in check. The United States is behaving more like a third world country, and it's unfortunate. Our coronavirus cases are still growing exponentially. From March to May, we had like 1 million infected. Now, there's been over 2 more million that have been infected. And at this rate, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be 3, 4, 5.
Wow. And it's so true. We're not really looking at the psychological changes that in the environment that we're putting our kids in, especially the younger kids, when it comes to them used to going to school and how, you know, the teachers are more warm and willing to, you know, interact with students. And now it's going to be that social distance thing. And it just kind of gives a sense of rejection, you know, in the classroom from a leader. You're absolutely right. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the setbacks that will come when our children.
Right. If these ideas came directly from the top leaders in the country, it would be an easier thing to get into. The transition would be a lot easier. But since everybody's divided and it's kind of like everybody do your own thing, you get this dissent where who's right, who's wrong, and then you get chaos, and then who wins? The coronavirus. And I think I said 3,000 to 4,000. I meant to say 3, 4, 5 million people were infected. So when you have that many people infected, of course, you want to increase the amount of lives that are lost.
So, and I know you shared so much good information as an educator. I really appreciate you, and I love you as my uncle. You know, you've given me so much over the years. You know, I must say that my mom has some awesome siblings.
Well, I tell you what, it's about empowering.
Yes.
And it's about me being empowered, be empowering, and you being empowered, and you empowering others. The more people that are empowered, the more like-mindedness we'll have.
Right.
It's about faith, safety, and success. Faith, safety, and success. You can't do anything without those three things.
Yes. Yes. So now I got two more things, and then I want to wrap up with you because I know that you are your time is valuable. First, what would you say to parents in general on how we can help the teachers or educators be better? Like our one third, what is that? How would you say as a parent, I want third? And I know one of the things you said is that parents wear the moral compass. Can you go into a little bit more detail with that and then expound on how we can help?
Okay, first and foremost, parents need to communicate with their teachers and students.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity for growth. You don't always look at things when something negative happens. You try to get the positive out of it.
Mm-hmm.
What is my learning opportunity here?
Mm-hmm.
For parents, it's an opportunity to dig in deeper and learn the curriculum that your child is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And be supportive to your child at home. When the teacher gives an assignment, you want to make sure that your child understands that assignment and don't be afraid to ask questions with that teacher. Because right now, we're a captive audience. But what a great time for everybody to do some serious learning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's tough because I know, like, it's easier when the kids are younger. But boy, when they become teenagers, it's like, I don't know, they got a force field over their room and, you know, can't get in nowhere and trying to talk to them about the homework and it's done. I'm sure every parent on here can attest to that, having a teenager and they're like, I don't need your help kind of thing.
Well, at this point, it's not about just helping. Mm-hmm. It's being a support mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your child, I'm here for you. If there's anything I can do to support you in your learning, I'm here.
Yes. Yes. And see, that's the thing, is what I used to do with Michael and Avea is when I saw that they could have been slacking off, because they got these cool apps now that they didn't have when we were kids, where you could go in and track their homework. And when I would see a zero or something like that, first thing I would do, I would text Michael or text Nevaeh and say, what is this? It would be a screenshot, you know, or I'll post it in Snapchat, you know, text them in Snapchat, because they check Snapchat, you know, so I...
Right, they have a program called Classroom Dojo, which is a constant communication with the parents and the teachers.
Really?
Right, parents can ask a question on Classroom Dojo. It goes immediately into the teacher's voicemail, or they'll get an email, and the teacher can respond in real time.
Wow, that's a great tool to have, because I know I would just have to, you know, respond or text Michael and Avea, and then I would email, try to find the teachers. It was hard to find the teacher's email address at times. You know, if I had it, it was good. But just to kind of get communication with the teachers, I would have to email the teacher straight and just say, hey, this is what I have going on. I want to know where my child is on this project. And sometimes, you know, it worked and sometimes they wouldn't get it done. So that's another story. But you said Classroom Dojo?
Classroom Dojo, and the great thing about that, it's free.
Okay.
And it has online tutorials on how to upload it and how to get it in your school systems.
Wow, Classroom Dojo. Okay, I will definitely try to send some friends that information that I know that are educators locally, and see. I'm sure Brandy knows, because my sister is also an educator. Which she's in New Jersey, and she's doing a phenomenal job. Every time I call her, she's like, I gotta call you back, I got stuff to grade. So I definitely feel her pain. But my last question is, with everything happening in education, how can we begin to get back on track in the future of educating our students? And I know a lot of this you went over, but just kind of some closing remarks for us, if you will.
Well, we learn from history, we learn from recent history, learn from the present so we can have a brighter future. Make sure that if anything like this is to ever happen again, when we have to transition to remote learning, the students, the teachers, and the parents can understand how it's done. They can learn how to use all of the internet programs so that the transition is seamless.
Mm-hmm.
Cherish the things that are close to us,
okay,
like our children, our grandparents, our teachers, and understand that anyone that works on the front line, that includes teachers, postal workers, healthcare providers, and I'm not just talking about the doctors and the nurses, I'm talking about the person that takes the blood, I'm talking about the phlebotomist, I'm talking about the person that sweeps and cleans. Those are all frontline workers that we sometimes forget about.
Mm.
Let's make sure that we have the proper materials stockpiled in every city. to make sure that we're ready to rock and roll. God forbid that we have any type of crisis like this again.
Yes. Yes. It's so true. That is so true. And I really do appreciate that. And I'm so glad that I finally got, but I'm just so thankful for you, Uncle Thomas. And I just wanted you to know that it was my joy to go to your games, because you also play for the New England Patriots.
I did a short stint with the Patriots. I got released and traded to the Rams when I felt as though my energy would be better served being with my mom. Especially at the loss of my father. Okay. After he passed away, the dream of continuing to play professional football kind of died too. I know gentlemen like Randall Cunningham dedicated it to their father, but my father and I had a vow. He said, if anything shall ever happen to me, to him, he said, please take care of your mom. Mm. And that's what I went and did.
Yes. Yes. Wow. I'm so glad that your journey was the way it was. You're continuing. To me, you're still a pro, you know, and I want to say that, because you may not be on TV, but sometimes we get mixed with that. There's a, what you're doing locally in the schools, because I actually attended the high school in the Bronx, and I was a student. You were my coach in basketball, and you taught me how to dunk. I was dunking at one point, y'all, with this guy. Most people don't know that story, but I used to dunk, and my uncle has been very instrumental in my life. We used to listen to rap music, so y'all see me listening to old school rap. He's a big part of that. You know, we used to listen to Big Daddy Kane. Yes. 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 And so that's a part of my life that I'm really fortunate to have my uncle to be able to speak into that, and for all the things that he has imparted. And I'm sure that other people are grateful to have him as well as a mentor / father figure in the local community. So I know that they are blessed to have you. I'm so glad for the examples that were set before me, and I'm even more excited that you're going to be able to go on this show. I can't wait, and hopefully you can share it with your educators as well. And I just wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome, and I'd like to make one last closing remark, if that's okay?
Yes.
In the name of John Lewis, I want you to get in some good trouble.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Very nice talking to you. Thank you for having me. You have a blessed rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. I am so honored to have you as my special guest. Listeners like you make this podcast possible, and we look forward to meeting up with you again soon. As we continue to celebrate our 10th of many episodes, stay tuned for future blogs and announcements as we speak gems and needed wisdom into your life. For more information, blogs, and podcasts, visit us at our website at liftwomensdevotions.blog. That's liftwomensdevotions.blog. Until next time.